A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 320. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Marchlands. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So we're talking about this five-part ghost story from ITV from 2011. It's about 5 hours in total, and it has an interesting structure to it.
Yes, because as we said last time, it does have this mixture of three time periods with three families living in the same house in different times, and they're all dealing with the after effects or possibly the echoes from a tragic event that occurred back in 1968. And yeah, as you say, Brian, this is a structure, it's an unusual one. One house, three families, three times, three stories.
Yes, and the stories are all very much interlinked.
And of course, all connected to this tragic event, which was the unexplained drowning of young Alice Bowen back in 1968, with her mother, Ruth, played by Jodie Whittaker, sensing her presence. And of course, she then starts to discover a few things, like she finds a pendant which belonged to Alice, apparently. And it does seem as if she could almost be being haunted by her own dead child, while she's on this quest to find out the truth of what actually happened. How did Alice come to drown in this water in the middle of the woods away from the house? So there's stuff to find out. There's a mystery about what happened to Alice, plus there's the haunting that seems to be happening.
Yes, that's right. And in 1987, in the middle of these three time periods, things are happening with the Maynards, with this couple and their two kids, Scott and Amy. There are strange floodings in the house. There's the discovery of Alice's diary. There's some concern about Amy's well-being because of her imaginary friend, also called Alice. And there are things that delve into that and delve into the history of what had happened nearly 20 years earlier.
Yes, absolutely. Strange stuff. And, you know, particularly with Amy's mom, played by Alex Kingston, coming across all sorts of weird happenings in the house, Marchlands.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In 2010, Nisha and Mark's baby has now arrived. She's given birth, and they need some help around the house and a bit of help with this newborn. And they employ a nice older woman from the village, played by Anne Reed, to help them. But this woman has her own connection to the house as well, and is trying to figure out what had happened some 40 or more years earlier with this situation with Alice. And it turns out, for reasons that are explained, Nisha and Mark's new child is also called Alice. So there is a presence of a different Alice in each time frame, and a presence of the original Alice in all of the time frames as well.
And as we said last time, one of the sort of things about Marchland is how skillfully the program makers sort of weave together these three stories, these three time frames. The fact that in each episode we will jump around from 1968 to 87 to 2010, or not necessarily in that order, but it's all done very neatly. It doesn't feel strange or jarring. And of course, they link it with some characters who appear in all three times, Brian.
The key one is Olive Runcie, who is this deaf woman who we eventually see in all three eras. And she has some interesting connections to what is going on in those different times.
Absolutely, yes. So we will find out more about Olive Runtsey and her connection. We'll find out who Anne Reed's character is. That's a discovery that sort of, I think, the audience figure out before Nisha and Mark do. But yeah, very interesting. You'll see various different versions of characters and work out the connections as you go along.
Yes, for sure.
So we've sold Marchlands to you as a ghost story. It is a ghost story, I suppose, which is not completely clear on the supernatural elements of these various stories. There's a lot of spooky and strange events happening. There's things that go bump and indeed splash in the House of Marchlands as various bits of the past reveal themselves to the future occupants. Is it the ghost of Alice that's really haunting this house? It's perhaps difficult to say, and it's not one that the show is going to deliver a firm answer for, I think, Brian.
Yeah, it, I think, really gives the sense that maybe it is paranormal, but it doesn't give you a really strong answer on that. It leaves it just a bit ambiguous, which is quite nice. I like how that was done. And it leaves things in that maybe things could just be about happenstance, and the mystery and the things that are going on could really be just about these very human concerns of the relationships and so on. It does leave us with some things that are a little bit open, which is nice.
Yeah, some strange mysteries, and we try to figure stuff out as it goes along in just the same way as the families do, with these strange events happening and these sort of echoes through the time from the past. Now, one of the things we teased last time was a sort of question that we raised in our sort of pre-match discussions about how to watch this show. Originally, as we say, February, March 2011, it was broadcast weekly, which is pretty much how I watched it on video on demand on Amazon. But Brian, you had a suggestion of something that seemed to work perhaps even better for this show.
Oh, I like the idea of watching it five nights in a row, or watching it even once every few days. But yeah, I don't think this is one that works quite as well watching it all in one go. I wouldn't personally lean towards watching it as a five-hour run, but stretching it out just a little bit and watching it over a week or a little more than a week, I think is a really nice way to take this, and I think it works nicely with the pacing of it and leaving a bit of a gap and so on.
Yes, and it, you know, as we keep saying, they do very skillfully weave in the three different times and the three different families, plus all these connecting characters. And of course, as you say, we've got mysteries, some of which will be resolved, some perhaps won't. So yeah, an interesting show to watch. Maybe, as you say, Brian, the sort of one a night for five consecutive nights might work well as you try to stitch together the stories and move through the mystery.
Very good. So we should talk about some of our own thoughts a little bit more than we already have, and some of the good and the bad, if you will, of this one. So, Eamon, what did you like about Marchlands?
Well, actually, quite a lot about Marchlands. I must start with this terrific idea of the three time periods, the three families, the three stories, all set in one house, which I just thought worked extremely well, Brian. I don't know what you thought about that as a concept.
Yes, I think the concept worked well, and more so in the writing, it was done very well. This is a very well-written show, and it jumps back and forth between these time frames in a way that is quite natural. We definitely get a single story with these sort of different subplots that proceed very naturally through it. And with something like this, you have the issue that you can't have the sort of full final resolution to everything in all three time frames. Yet that really can only happen in the last one. But they were able to do it in such a way that you get the right resolution, you know, the right level of resolution for each of the time frames, as well as getting the full resolution in the final one. So it is very well put together as a show. It's very well written.
So the concept's great. The writing's great. What did you think about the production design, the look and feel and sound of the show, particularly with recreating past stories as well, I guess?
I can't fault it at all. I think it worked very well. I think the taking the same house and having different versions of it, having a very clearly 1980s kitchen and a very clearly 2000s era kitchen, things like that were done very well. I think they got the look of this right, and the tone of making it spooky without doing necessarily all of the obvious jump scares and things. The tone of it was done very well, and the look and feel supported that very nicely.
Yes, I'd be fascinated to know a little bit more about the production and how they recreated the three different time zones, and whether, you know, I guess with a modern production like Marchland's, it's difficult to tell which is sets and which is actually interiors of the house, whether they in fact did do all the redecoration and set dressing and filmed the three sort of different times in order rather than sort of all mixed together as the show is broadcast. But certainly, you know, making it look like 1968, making it look like 1987, great stuff, you know, lovely bits of set dressing and costuming and the hairstyles and everything to go with it. So it certainly, as a production, it looks fantastic, I think, Brian.
Yes, I think the interiors were probably all done with sets, and they probably had a separate set for the 1960s kitchen, the 80s kitchen, and the 2000s kitchen that were just designed in such a way that they looked like they could be the same place. Where the exterior, I imagine they dressed it for each era and did that that filming in sequence, or one era at a time at least, where they you know, may have gone quite differently with the interiors. So a big thing we have to talk about here is the cast. So what did you think about the casting and the performances in this?
Oh, they're just terrific, all of them. I mean, I couldn't, if you pinned me down, I couldn't think of any performances that let this show down at all. I thought they were all terrific. They all seemed very convincing for the time period that they were performing in. Yeah, I believed all of them. The 1968 family, the 1987 Maitlands, Mark and Nisha in 2010, and the sort of older versions of characters we've seen earlier in the show. I don't know if there's any particular standouts. I mean, Jodie Whittaker is fantastic. Anne Reed is always watchable when she turns up. Yeah, I thought the cast were great, Brian. What about yourself?
Oh, I agree. I think there were a number of performances that I would think of in a lot of other shows as big standouts, but here there were enough of them that it sort of just brought the level up. Certainly Jodie Whittaker was excellent in it. I thought Dennis Lawson was also particularly good. And others, as you mentioned as well, having Alex Kingston and Dean Andrews together for the 1980s, I thought they did a really strong take on that, you know, getting the feel of the era, but they really gave strong feel of a realistic couple there. So that was, they were standouts as well in a way. I get the feeling that Alex Kingston really enjoyed doing a 1980s era thing, you know, with 1980s hair and makeup and so on.
Yes, and a slightly more northern accent than we used to her having as River Song. Yeah, I mean, as you say, Alex Kingston and Dean Andrews together are just terrific as a couple, completely believable, a couple that's got a few problems, but at the same time, you know, a very loving couple, loving family. It's great stuff. So yeah, the terrific cast.
All three couples have a lot of humanity there, and that was something I enjoyed a lot. But someone else I really have to mention here is Olive Runsey. With all three actors, we don't see that much of the child version of Olive Renzi in the 1960s time frame. She's certainly good with it, but the teenage version and the older version were both very good. They were quite convincing that it was the same person. And quite convincing in telling that character's story and in connecting things together. She is the strongest connecting thread through all of this, apart from maybe Alice, the girl who died herself. But Alice is more connecting as a concept and a story thread, where Olive, as a character and with the performances there, is something very strong linking all of this together.
Yes, fantastic stuff. And, you know, we have to shout out to this production, because we believe that both the younger actors who played the child and teenage versions of Olive Renzi are in fact deaf actors playing a deaf character. So, you know, kudos to the show for doing that. That's Martha Bryant playing the child version and Sophie Lee Stone, who plays the teenage Olive Renzi, and apparently was the first deaf actor to be admitted to the RADA acting school here in England. So, you know, quite prestigious for her as well. And then Elizabeth Ryder playing the older version, who must have worked closely with Sophie Lee Stone, I guess, to get the sign in and the speech pattern right. I think it's often interesting when we see actors having to play older or younger versions of the same character and the work they do to make that believable. And it's fantastic here, I think, with the character of Olive Renzi.
Yes, it really is. And the performances there are great. I like that they included this deaf character as a central character. And the fact that she is deaf is not really a plot point. It helps with the character development and the idea that one of the other characters learned some sign language from her at one, in part of it. But she definitely is an important character, and we learn her importance throughout it. And it was really a very strong character. So definitely an interesting aspect to this show.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And, you know, I keep saying this, but it is fantastic how they've put together these three different times and yet made it all so believable and convincing. And then having characters like Olive Renzi who connect us to the stories work so well. So yeah, lots to admire about this production of Marchlands by ITV, Brian.
Yes, it really was put together very tightly and is really quite strong. So I do have to ask, do you have anything negative to say about this?
Well, I suppose that the only negative points I could think of was that some people might find it a little slow and a little vague. So this isn't a show with big jumps and, you know, lots of gore or dramatic frights. This is a slow, subtle haunting of a ghost story. And it takes, you know, you have to concentrate and watch closely to see what's going on. So I suppose that might be a negative for some people who might want a bit more drama and action.
Most of that, I would find a positive aspect. To elaborate on something you mentioned there, it is a show that demands your attention, in part because we are sort of switching from one time period to another, and it requires just that little bit of concentration to follow that. So I would say this is definitely not background viewing. Whether this is negative or not, I don't know, but it does demand that you follow it fairly closely.
Yes, iPads and phones down, pay attention, because there's stuff going on in Marchlands. What about yourself? Any negatives about this show, Brian?
Really, there is very little. On the whole, it's very strong. It, as I mentioned, is a little bit more demanding of attention than some other shows. It also is worth noting that something that hangs on the death of a child is not something that everyone is comfortable watching. And there is nothing that is truly gory, although we do see glimpses of things with the drowning, but that's something that not everyone is completely comfortable watching, so that is worth noting.
Yes, it is a good point, actually, Brian. Yes, it is a show about a drowned six-year-old, which is quite distressing, but yes, an interesting story that they've weaved around that tragic event.
Absolutely.
And also, as you said, Brian, maybe one to watch over five consecutive nights. That's a good way to watch it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So let's get on to our recommendations. Do you want to start with this one, Eamon?
Okay, it's going to be very quick and easy. I think our listeners will have figured this one out already. Over here in Region 2, Marchlands is a fiver streaming, so that's £1 an episode, and I think it's a great show. I really enjoyed it. I think the one episode a night over five consecutive nights is a great way to do it. I think that's a good call by you, Brian. So yeah, I'm going to recommend it to our listeners, Marchlands from ITV in 2011. What about yourself?
It gets a recommendation from me as well. It's a very solid show. It's compelling, well put together. The different time frames is something that we don't see that much, and it was used very well. The cast is outstanding. You know, it's a really very strong cast. So, yes, definitely gets a recommendation from me.
Excellent. And I'm sort of intrigued by the possibility of Lightfields now. So if any of our listeners have seen both Marchland and Lightfields and would care to let us know whether we should be putting that sort of sequel show on our list of possibles for the future, get in touch, please.
Or if you've seen the French version, or if you've seen the original American pilot, The Oaks, although I don't know where that's available, let us know your thoughts about any of those as well.
Yes, let's have a French review as well, please. Yes, absolutely.
So, in summary, Marchlands introduces us to this house that may or may not be haunted, and we are told this story of three different families living in this house in three different time frames. We have a couple in 1968 who has sadly just lost their daughter who drowned, and that daughter, Alice, becomes a central thread and a central plot idea to this show. And while we are going from time frame to time frame, back and forth, we are also introduced to a family from 1987 who have a daughter whose imaginary friend is called Alice and may or may not be the result of a haunting. And we get into different ideas of what may be happening there. And we also have a 2010 professional couple who is in this same house and is expecting their first child and is learning things about this house and sees somewhere something about a child called Alice who had been there, names their own child Alice. So we get this interwoven story between these three time frames, and all along, Olive Runcie, this deaf woman, is a part of the story as well. And we see her as a child in the 60s, and we see her again in the 1980s, and we see her in the 2000s as well. And she helps to tie all of this together, and we have this supernatural mystery of sorts that will all be tied up with a final resolution in the 2000s. And resolution of sorts in the 60s and the 80s as well.
There you go. A neat summary of a complex show, Brian.
It's definitely involved, but it really is a wonderful show.
Splendid. Please come back and join us next time when we are almost literally traveling in time again. This time we're with the BBC. It's 1978, and we're looking at a series called A Traveller in Time, which features a very early performance by the actress Sophie Thompson. So stuff to talk about when we come back next time, Brian.
Oh, yes, that will definitely be an interesting one to talk about. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our past episodes, well over 300 of them now, covering some shows with time travel and some without. And you can also find us on Facebook by searching for British Invaders. We have a group there. And please join us in the discussion. We always have some fun things to talk about.
We do indeed. And British Invaders is also a proud member of the Voice of Geeks Network. You can find out all about it, much, much more, at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks. Plenty of stuff there as well, Brian.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. And until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.